Chicago State University Board of Trustees meeting is hereby called to order. Bonnie?
Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
Trustee Joyce?
Here.
Trustee Stanley?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
Trustee Anderson?
Yes. Was the meeting notice posted?
Yes, it was.
Thank you. Dr. Williams, you want to run through the, let me first approve, is there a motion to approve the previous minutes?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been properly moved and seconded.
Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
Trustee Joyce? Trustee Stanley?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
Trustee Anderson?
Yes.
Dr. Williams, you want to touch on the 2012 meeting schedule?
Yes, the proposed meeting schedules are posted March 9th, May 11th, June 29th, September 21st, but I understand there might be a change with respect to the whole strategic planning process or HLC and December 14th, 2012.
And Dr. Williams, you asked for the board to approve these dates?
Yes.
Great. Is there a motion to approve these dates for 2012?
No approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been properly moved and seconded.
Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Stanley?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
Trustee Anderson?
Yes.
Mr. President, can we have your report?
Yes. I'm going to talk about four or five items. One, entrepreneurship. Two, performance funding. Three, the effect that the new surge pension rule will have on Chicago State. Four, short shared governance. Starting off with entrepreneurship. As you know, the city of Chicago and the nation is going through a job crisis in terms of unemployment. And we've been very fortunate to work with one senator, Senator Mark Kirk, and three congressmen, Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr., Bobby Rush, and Congressman Davis, to develop an entrepreneurship program for one express purpose, to try to develop three new companies in Chicago that will then become the new employment engines within the community. Entrepreneurship, as you will remember, in June, over to the May board meeting, the board passed a new mission for Chicago State. And part of that new mission for Chicago State was entrepreneurship. So this is being consistent with what the board had passed of us developing and growing our mission in entrepreneurship. The contest, the applications, the business plans closed December 21st. We have individuals throughout the, not only Chicagoland, but throughout the state of Illinois applying to try to see if they can win this. In the first three, the third prize will Best Buy the company. They're going to supply computers and computer software systems and wiring systems for whoever, you know, wins. The second and third prize, we are still working and defining out with the senator and the three congressmen. Basically, they are opening up their Rolodex. They're opening up their Rolodex to make sure these companies are appropriately funded and doors are open. This is an opportunity for our students. It is my understanding a number of our students are applying. It is my understanding that a number of our faculty are working with our students to help them work up new business plans. So, you know, faculty and students are working together on this, and this is, you know, this is part of our mission. Next one is performance funding. House Bill 1503 was passed the last legislative session. And bottom line, the state of Illinois is stating that all universities, all higher education institutions will be funded based upon metrics that are predefined. This committee was established back in July. It's about a 17 to 20 member committee throughout representing the entire state. Three presidents from throughout the state were assigned to be on this committee. Chicago, I was one of the presidents. We were fortunate to have our student David Anderson, who's from IDHE, he is on that committee. And then we're equally as important to have one of our faculty members, Tim Harrington, from the College of Education, representing the statewide union, be represented on that committee. And Tim's input has been absolutely invaluable to that committee. The committee was stuck on three things. I'm just very briefly give you some insight. They were stuck on eight items. Then they formed a subcommittee of the 20. And once again, Tim and myself were selected to be on a subcommittee of seven people to work out the difficult problems the state had left over after meeting months and months. One of the problems was, how do you finance the performance funding effort? We were able to get the legislators to agree with us in concept that this cannot be a zero-sum game, that they have to put money on the table for us to achieve the new metrics that are going to be put forward. They agreed in words. Number two, to what extent do you hold institutions harmless in performance funding? Well, there's a reality. If you're talking performance funding, two things were put out. One is, no matter what metric you set up now, it will take a number of years to get the new students, to get students through the pipeline so that they can be measured by the new metrics. Because remember, whatever you already have students in the pipeline. So, and universities, especially Chicago State, will have to restructure, enhance, raise its standards, change its policies in order to meet some of the new metrics that are being put in place. And that takes time to change policies. The second is the long-term part of it. And with that one, once the first part is taken care of, then everybody will be held accountable. Another one is how you differentiate between institutions. We've pushed very strong and very hard that it should be mission-based. Chicago State should not be measured on the standards or the mission of the University of Illinois. And I want to say Tim Harrington, our faculty member, was very strong and in terms of pushing on that one. We also pushed for the Carnegie and also the demographics of each institution, so that funding would be based on the unique student body of each institution. Only two more I would just name, and that is, what qualifies as an underserved or underrepresented student? What they were basically getting ready to do was pass a performance-based funding that said, we will fund your college based upon numbers, based upon your graduation rate, period. Next problem. And what we did was we stopped that. And because if that had happened, we were losing before we got out the gate. We were not counting transfer students. We were not being given credit for first-time, full-time freshmen, for first-generation, or for educated students from the lowest economic quartile. What we have been able to work out in theory at this point, and I say theory, we've gotten everybody's degree initially, is that if you graduate a student, he's counted as 1 point. If that student is from a first-time generation family, then you might get a 25% weighted factor there. If the student is from the lowest economic quartile, you might get another weighted factor of 25%. So that at the end of the game, if you're, you know, a student, you might realize a 1.5 to 1.75, you know, point for a student, as opposed to if you graduate. If you graduate a student who they have from a, if you graduate a student who's from a family that has a tradition of going to college, they're in their middle income bracket, et cetera, that student only counts as one. We're able to fight those metrics through, which gives Chicago State a better chance, along with transfer. Transfer students were not being counted at all. We now have transfer students counted. And the last thing that I want to say is affordability. We have not won this one. This is one that we're still fighting, Mr. Chairman. And that is, you can, when you college must be affordable. In order for college to be affordable, every student, and what we're putting forth is something called a student's right, a student's inalienable rights, and that is tuition, books and a computer, housing, and transportation. That every student in the state of Illinois must be given this. Now, we stated it every time at the last, what, 5 or 6 meetings. It's starting to take some traction, and we have not won it yet. But that gives you an example of performance funding, and based upon how universities perform, their funding will follow. So that's very key, and once again, I want to give our faculty member and our student a lot of credit on this one. David, you were on that committee. Is there anything that I left out?
No, except that just I think people need to know that it is going to happen. It's going to the legislature, and now we just have the audacious opportunity to help write some of the rules. And that's actually, for us at Chicago State University, that is a advantage and something that we should take advantage of and be able to implement.
Usually we are a recipient of the rules that other people write. Now we are participating. The other item is pension. State University retirement system, their board of trustees approved a change in their actuarial table, which will affect the calculation, decreasing an individual's annuity amount by 8%, effective July 1, 2012. Okay? Now, if you stay an extra year or two, they say that the way they are projecting that it will level itself out. But for that first year or so, you will lose 8% if you retire in that period of time. What does this mean for us at Chicago State? This could potentially affect 234 faculty, staff, and administrators. Most likely, though, on the conservative side, it will affect only 83. And those are individuals who are over 62 years of age who have served 30 years or more. About 83 individuals we might lose as of July 1. A possible is 178 possible people. Those individuals who are 62 years of age but who have served 20 years or more. If these individuals say, guess what, we're retiring, the fiscal impact to us for the most likely to retire of 83 would be $1,700,000. For the probable 178 individuals, it would be approximately $2,250,000. And what this is sick and vacation day payout that we have to pay out if this happens. This is not voted upon by the Senate or the legislative body. This is what the board that they put forth on their own. The last thing that I want to touch upon is, as you are aware, we are systematically reviewing and where appropriate, enhancing, restructuring, and raising standards of different departments, programs, academic standards, and capital assets of this university, of Chicago State. This is a very tedious process. It is a work in progress. We have many successes, but we also have many challenges as we go through it. Last one is shared governance. Inclusion, we're looking for inclusion. We're looking for inclusion and not just an illusion of shared governance. For faculty, students, and staff. I've met with each one of the colleges, the faculty from the College of Education, College of Health, College of Business, and College of Pharmacy. The faculty from each one of those colleges. There's one college that I have not met with yet, and I'm sure that will take place in this coming spring. Also have had an all-faculty meeting on campus. With our students, we have had 2 town hall meetings, and then we had a couple of sidebar meetings with different groups of students. And that's basically it, sir. It's been a busy semester.
Yeah. It's pretty serious topics.
Yes, they are.
We'll be thinking a lot about all those. Probably talking to you about how we handle some of these things.
Yes, sir.
I've got no questions. Any questions from the other trustees?
Thanks, Mr. President. We're going to get a report on the iPads from Dr. Darger.
Good afternoon, Board. Rich Darger, Dean Library Instruction Services. I just want to go on record saying how much we are in support of instructional technology and mobile technologies as a part of, as a tool, a really wonderful tool for learning and teaching. We have, on the faculty development side, the Center of Teaching and Research Excellence is a part of our operation here with Library and Instructional Services, and we've been busy this year with respect to faculty development and the use of technologies. And I'd like to invite Liz Osinka, who has oversight over the Center of Teaching and Research Excellence, to share some of her findings with respect to some of the work that we've done with the iPads and faculty, as well as some of the feedback that we've got. Liz?
Hi. For the record, my name is Elizabeth Osinka. I'm an associate professor in the College of Education, currently serving an interim role as the associate dean in the library. As Rich said, the iPad initiative was made known to me my second day in my job back on August 2nd, 2010, where my office was charged with distributing the iPads to the faculty that were teaching freshman seminar courses. And then I was asked to do faculty development to make sure those faculty knew how to use the iPad and use them in the classroom. That was accomplished with the College of Education, which helped took a leadership role in developing the pedagogical aspect of that training. We're happy to report that the 41 people that were teaching freshman seminar sections in fall 2010, all of them went through the training. We did send out a faculty survey to them, asking them their opinions of the iPad, their comfort level with technology, etc. We got back about a 50% response rate on that. This week, when I learned that you guys wanted an update, I sent out a survey to the 31 people that are still teaching that were in the initial group. Three of the emails came back. We had 10 people submit it, so we had about a 35% response rate. Again, it's a self-selected response rate, but that's what we've been doing. Is there any questions in specific that I can answer or address for you today? No? Thanks. Thank you.
Tico?
Do you have anything to add on that? Actually not, except that I really want to express my gratitude to Dr. Osinka, Dr. Darger, and Dr. Gist from the College of Education, because they have really stepped up and embraced the devices from a pedagogical perspective. The last thing I will say about this is I've had engagement with Apple representatives. We're going to step up the level of support that we're bringing into the university, so we will be engaging with them for some training and lunch on December the 20th, and we, on both sides, have been committed to ensure that very formalized training happens at least twice a year, but they will be bringing some of their more innovative programs to Chicago State next year.
I know we had some questions during Trustee Joyce's orientation from the students. Just want to know if you've been able to address some of those concerns they had about around security
So that's a huge effort that I'm making. We had initially engaged the Apple technology Find My iPad. Apple's had a marketing shift on that technology. So in fact, as soon as I leave here, I'm headed down to CPS, where they have deployed some technology called MDM. And they have 7,000 iPads in circulation, and they anticipate moving up to 12,000 iPads. So I'm going to take a look at their operation and see what they're doing, as well as I've engaged AT&T for a product called Mobile Iron So it'll be one of those two technologies that we are moving to, but it will give us significantly greater capabilities in terms of tracking these devices, as well as pushing the kinds of standard applications that we do in this region.
Thank you. Any questions from the trustees? I'm looking at you, Trustee Stanley. What's your technology doing, right?
None that wouldn't bore the rest of the...
Thanks, Dr. Dargan. Nice work on that. Thanks, Nicole.
Thank you.
I'm going to move into the reports and add the distinction of chairing every committee today, so I'm going to do them all. The first was the Academic and Student Affairs. The big thing in that committee today was the strategic plan. Is Dr. Sharp and Roundtree still here? Can I have you just come up for a quick second, just summarize? I think that there's a lot of importance in just the strategic plan. Just want you to, on the record, summarize what we talked about.
Okay. For the record, my name is Dr. Anita Sharp. All right. So we went through this morning the methodology for achieving the strategic plan. As it exists today, we met with a large committee that included faculty, staff, students. This process was begun over a year ago. The process has continued with lots of faculty input, staff input, administrative input. We presented the six strategic levers to the board this morning, and those strategic levers all have many objectives and measures associated with them. We discussed with the board this morning that those measures would need validation, and that we missed the Westside campus, and so we will include that in the next in the final iteration of the strategic plan. But overall, the goals, the general goals of the strategic plan, are very solidified, and we're just waiting validation of the measures for the strategic plan.
Great, thank you. And there was a resolution on the table to for the board to approve.
Yes.
The plan.
Yes.
The shell of the plan, anyway. Knowing yes. There may be some changes to. Some of the targets and numbers and such we have on the Westside campus. So with that, is there a motion to approve this resolution from the board?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Properly moved and second.
Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Stanley?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
Trustee Anderson?
Yes.
Thanks, Dr. Sharp. Just want to say thanks again on that plan. That's well done. I know there's a lot of people involved in that, so I don't want to miss anybody, but thanks. That's just a killer plan. So we want to get those numbers nailed down. That's a great plan.
Thank you.
Next committee was finance. We had a handful of resolutions, the first being the beverage contract. It's my understanding it was between Pepsi and Dr. Pepper. Pepsi won out, hands down. We had it without a contract, so I'm glad we're going to be now entered into a contract. So there was a resolution on the table there, which will I'll ask for a motion in a second. The other came out of Dr. Harris, two of my favorite grants. So he asked us to pull down some money for the occupational therapist collaboration, as well as the Head Start and Early Head Start, which are great programs. There were two resolutions to put money down there, which we'll also ask for a motion to approve. The second and last was the snow removal contract, which I don't know how any trustee in Chicago would not approve that. But it's on the table. I think it's a one-year contract, Chief, right?
1 year and renewal, 4 more years.
Yep. Excellent. So if I could ask for a motion to approve those three.
Just want the students to know that with the Pepsi contract, we will be getting new vending machines and updated technology. So,
excellent. With that, is there a motion to approve the resolutions?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is it moved and seconded?
Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Stanley?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
Trustee Anderson?
Yes.
The Facilities Committee did not meet today. We apologize, Chief Watson, although I did want to take the opportunity to say there was
a great article about Chief and how he handled a situation here on campus. We don't get too much positive press, although we're working on that. So I did want to point out that Chief had a great link on that, particularly in light of, you know, some of the tragedies that you hear at institutions like Virginia Tech for the second time. It's good to know we have somebody as serious as you kind of controlling things. So I wanted to, from the board, say we appreciate the work you do. Legislative Human Resources met, no action items there. We did have Attorney Richard Boykin come in and give an update. Great update. He's been doing terrific work, trying to, again, you know, sort of round up all the support we can get from our legislators. He mentioned the work he's done with Senator Mark Kirk and the entrepreneurship program, as well as some of the other legislators he's engaged in. That's a long process. It's a tough process. That's why he makes what he makes, but he's doing a pretty good job. We're satisfied there. No action items have come out. Dr. Williams, anything on Civil Service Merit Board?
Yes, I had the opportunity to attend the Civil Service Merit Board on November 16th, and there were several items of interest to the board. Effective January 1st, all Board of Trustees members will be required to do Open Meetings Act training online. The schedule was adopted for 2012, and there were no CSU cases.
Thanks, Dr. Williams. Is Katanian?
Yes.
Can we get an update on the foundation, please?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
My name is Katanian Sam, Executive Director of the CSU Foundation. I just want to bring you up to date on a couple of things that are happening. The first thing is that we are continuing our work to plan an event for the acquisition of Providence Hospital papers and artifacts. We're looking forward to putting an event on February 16th here on campus. But beyond that, we're also looking at a broader agenda for that collection and looking at how we might be able to use it as a jumping off point to bring other such collections to the university. So that's one thing we're working on. I'm sure many of you have received information that today we will be celebrating the 43rd anniversary of the CSU Foundation. And it's also the day when we kick off our annual fund campaign. And so I hope that you will all join us in the Cordell Reed Student Union Building, rooms A, B, and C for that kickoff. And then finally, on April 1st, we will be celebrating our Essence of an Angel event. This is a very special event for us. It's the second annual. It's an event that we started this past April to celebrate single mothers who attend Chicago State. And we use it as a vehicle to raise scholarship funds for our young ladies who are mothers here at Chicago State. So I hope that you will keep that on your calendar. I'll have a full calendar of events for the coming year for you so that you'll have that. And then, of course, I don't want to let my time pass without, again, reiterating, you know, my encouragement to all of you to make sure that you continue to make contributions to the CSU Foundation. Because when you make contributions to the CSU Foundation, it makes it possible for us to be able to say to folks who are external to the university that we're giving to ourselves and therefore that they should help us. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Terry. Trustee Anderson, student update?
Yes. You'll find the student trustee report in your packet. Just a couple of highlights and a few concerns. Some of the highlights, we had AIDS Awareness Week last week. We had a great turnout across campus to support that effort. Also, there was a student-moderated campus-wide dialogue that was student-moderated and student-led. Through that, we were able, in conjunction with AIDS Awareness Week, to get 400 plus student service for customer service surveys. The results are pending. I will be putting together an Excel platform sheet to show that results to the board. Also, good news, MAP funding, I was informed by the chairman of ISAC, MAP funding will not be increased in the spring academic semester for all of the students who were concerned about that. State board grew, and that will be fully funded. Also, SGA offices were renovated, and so now we have a place where student government can address student needs. Other matters, one thing I wanted to mention was that, just as a highlight, the Independent Student Union. There's a group of concerned students who have organized on campus with concerns pertaining to accountability and transparency from the CSU administrations. There was a meeting between administration and ISU this week to address concerns. There will be another follow-up meeting in the spring semester. I believe that this dialogue can serve as another conduit of constructive campus transformation for students and staff. Also, as the honorable mention, Dr. Terrence Kearney, a tenured professor in the College of Business, passed away last week. I pray that our hearts and family are with him in this time of grief. And also, I've spoken with many staff and students who have lost their loved ones during this holiday. Can we just take a brief moment of silence to commiserate Dr. Kearney and other family members? Thank you. And now with situations that I think was important for the board trustees and staff to know. One situation that I've been made aware of is that there are concerns that the LGBT community, lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transsexual community on campus is in some way ostracized, mainly because of the lack of campus awareness and maybe ignorance of the LGBT community. Recommendation, in partnership with the students, to help create LGBT safe zones on campus, awareness and training for staff as well as students, so that the members of the LGBT community, when they experience harassment or hate crimes, they know that they can approach a staff member or student or a place who displays the safe zone symbol at their desk or at their office. This has been employed at many universities across the country, including University of California, Murray State University, Washington University, College of Charleston, and so that. The second thing was, has been echoed throughout this whole day, the Illinois Board of Higher Education, which I am a member of, has a target date to complete the guidelines for performance funding February 6th, which will start in FY 2012-2013. As a board member and a member of the steering committee of the IBG, I believe this model can afford CSU obstacles, but also bring major opportunities if we position ourselves accordingly, despite the expeditious nature of this measure. Recommendation, please visit the IBG.org website and for staff and students to prepare themselves for this coming measure. And lastly, coming back, I spoke to Ms. Mitchell briefly, but the Career Development Center has been downsized to one career advisor to date. I know this office is in reconstruction. This is a vital office to the matriculation of students into the workforce. The recommendation is to present the plan and the deadline to the student body or SGA, including the action steps that are in place to replenish such a vital office for our students. That is all, Chairman.
Any questions for Trustee Kearney? Great. Next two reports we'll have are new to the Board of Trustees agenda. In the spirit of shared governance, I thought that it was appropriate that the Board heard from the Faculty Senate as well as the Civil Service Council on a regular basis. My ask was that they shape their reports in a way to educate the Board of Trustees, as they're just so integral to the university. For me, I want to know more about both groups, and we're going to have them present to us on a going forward basis. So with that, Mr. Simpson, I'd love to hear from you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, members of the Board. Chair Rozier, I'm Yann Searcy. I'm the president of the CSU Faculty Senate and an associate professor in two departments, social work and sociology, or in sociology, anthropology, geography, political science, and African American studies, actually. So,
yeah.
So that actually speaks to one of the issues, but I also want to welcome welcome the new trustees. So welcome to Chicago State University. I also want to welcome you and give you a formal faculty welcome. You're invited to attend our faculty senate meetings. We will formally put this out there going through the board office as well. So welcome to everyone. All right. I know as part of your report, as part of your packet of information, you actually have our written report. I'm just going to summarize some elements, and we'll go from there. I'll open up for questions if there are any, and then we will proceed. All right. So this report primarily is about some concerns of the faculty senate and of the faculty in general. So one of the major concerns happens to be academics' decisions and overall that entire process. So the concern is more so about the process and the transparency of the process, as well as even the background of the process. So it's included in the report. And I do know that, just to reiterate, that you do have copies of this, but let me just read through this fairly quickly. Changes to curriculum and degree requirements, college reorganizations, and the graduate school elimination have been ordered by the administration with limited to no faculty input, no rationale for the changes, and no empiricism that suggested the need for the changes. Defining hallmark of academic life is indeed research. These decisions were not grounded in research, and feelings are not sufficient conditions for major institutional restructuring. Absent a rationale couched in empiricism, the HLC will likely question restructuring and place accreditation at risk. So one of the issues with the Faculty Senate is we have an eye on the prize of accreditation and reaccreditation. So this happens to be, and these concerns are couched in terms of reaccreditation of the university. And so a number of faculty members made me aware that I think it was, someone correct me if I'm wrong, but Fisk University was recently put, they were reaccredited, but they were placed on probation for a year. We do not want to be in that circumstance or situation. And so hence the reason for our being quite vigilant on particular issues. Next happens to be communication, and let us be clear, and we've had good conversations with President Watson related to this. We know from the past HLC reports and past accreditation visits and the like, communication issues and that stream of communication, we've had these discussions. These are ongoing issues at this university, but from the faculty standpoint, we are moving forward to try to address this by having monthly meetings with the president, having monthly meetings with the provost as well, and we are doing our part in terms of at least internal organization with us to make sure that we are being open and transparent as well. So let me just read through the communication parts of this report. So written communication from the administration has taken the form of directives or announcements, and noticeably absent are feasibility studies, reorganization work groups, or reports that illuminate where administrative mandates originate. Additionally, college reorganization and reconstitution of academic departments occurred prior to official announcements to the university community, leaving faculty and students wondering about the lines of responsibility. The HLC requires that effective communication facilitates governance processes and activities, and the quality of communication at CSU fails to meet that standard. I will say this, and I also want to thank you. This is indeed this report, and having time set aside, not just at the end of the meeting for open comments, this is part of that shared governance and opening up communication. This is the process which is moving this university forward. At the end of your report, in terms of the packet, you will see that there were some Senate resolutions that were passed. I see a typo, unfortunately. So Senate resolutions, and then there were some action items here, and I'm not quite sure how you choose to proceed with this, but on part of that, there were some recommendations that were here. And of those recommendations, and I'll end with this, is that we asked the Chicago State University Board of Trustees to do the following. One, approved the attached Senate resolution asserting the primacy of the role of faculty in academic matters. Inquire about this one of those issues related to academic concerns. Inquire about the justification for the elimination of the graduate school. And then request that the governor add a faculty experience trustee to the board to fill the existing vacancy. So this last one is, we can always ask. So there's a student representative that happens to be part of the board, and it just seems to make sense. So that's the end of the report.
That's great. Thanks. I appreciate the report. Appreciate going through it. I'll take the resolution. So what you can do with the resolution, I'll take them as recommendations.
Okay.
And what it does, and what I hope this will continue to do, is it spurs questions for us, obviously, to ask the administration. And this has happened long before just send this report you just did, but my charge to the president, he knows this, is that the shared governance continues to grow. So as I see issues like that, they spur questions from the board, which is exactly what, you know, we hope to accomplish by hearing from the faculty senate. Request I have is the next time you present, I'd love to, if you could even take a step back and just give us the a general overview of the faculty senate.
Okay.
Kind of what the goals are, who the players are and such, because I think that's something we can take for granted that we know or really don't. So that would actually help a whole lot in terms of just our knowledge of the faculty senate. But I would encourage you as the president, of course, to certainly continue to work with President Watson. I'm going to be in there, make sure that happens.
Right.
Because I do think this shared governance is very important. But I don't have any questions. I don't want to take the mic away because you don't talk. We speak often.
Right.
Any questions from the other trustees for Dr. Searcy? Great, thanks. Thanks for taking
One
time.
Last thing, I just want to echo what Kate said, to donate to the university as well. All right, thank you.
Ms. Stewart?
Yes. Good afternoon. My name is Bobby Stewart. I am the Civil Service Employee Council President here at Chicago State. I thank you for this opportunity. We're going to go through the basics. I'm quite sure you all got my presentation, but I'm still going to go through the basics. What is civil service? Civil service, the Civil Service Reform Act of 1978 is when I started working here. Is a federal law that established that government jobs should be awarded by merit and by exam and not by political affiliation. The Civil Service Employee Council mission is to study and make recommendations regarding campus conditions of employment, problems, or needs, either by the request of the university or the request of the employee. Our goals are to represent the civil service employees to the university administration and to advise the administration in the formation and implement of policies and procedures related to civil service. Our challenges: promoting unity among civil service employees, funding issues that prevent civil service employee activities, allocation of office space, supplies, etc., day-to-day operations of the Civil Service Council, absence of newsletter to keep the civil service employees informed, and staff development. Changes and improvements made by the current administration. Bobby Stewart, Civil Service Employee President, is now a member of the President Executive Council. University President Dr. Watson has an open door policy. We now have a centralized monthly meeting place, second Tuesday of every month, Cook Administration, Boarding Room 317, from 10 to 11. Employee development through HR, and we're working with HR to enhance customer service and to ensure that compliance and policies are being done or kept up at Chicago State. As a whole, what can we do? We can accept that although changes are occurring, the overall process is long-term. Change takes time. But we civil service employees have a motto: less me and more we. At this time, I'd like to introduce some of the Civil Service Council that could come today to support me. We have Tanya Lloyd, who is our treasurer. Valerie Booth, who is our secretary. Melanie Jones, who is our sergeant at arms. Dr. Renee Mitchell, who is our advisor. The Civil Service Employee Council thanks the Board of Trustees for taking the time to listen to our concerns and for working with us to make the Civil Service Employee Council the best yet. Are there any questions at this time?
Ms. Stewart, I'd love to see in subsequent reports from the Civil Service Council. You laid out four challenges you had, and I would think they're all pretty important issues. So my suggestion would be to think about, you know, ways you can attack those challenges, come up with some solutions. You'll have support from the president to get that done. But we'd like to see sort of a game plan on how you go about tackling these challenges. From my perspective, the Civil Service Council is obviously extremely important to the university, and I'd like to see these things addressed. So if we can make sure that's on the agenda for the next meeting, that'd be great. Not to say we're going to solve them all, but we can at least start the process to figure out how to solve some of these challenges.
Yes, sir.
I have no other questions. Any other questions from the trustees? Thanks for your service.
You're welcome.
Mr. Chairman, the next item on the agenda is to recess an executive session. However, you have in your packet a report from the General Counsel's Office, Office of Legal Affairs, and there are other matters. The minutes for the executive session, we can defer till the next meeting, approval of the executive session minutes. So there's really no matter which requires us to go into executive session today.
Great. Can you move to our action items then?
To the action items, again, we will defer the item of the approval of past executive session minutes. Board rules and regulations, we are at the second reading of those board rules and regulations. It's on the agenda today for a second reading, but not for approval. So if there are any further comments that want to be received from those rules and regulations, we will receive them. They have been posted on the website for public comment and for university comment. So at this time, we have not received any formal comment. Various members of the faculty have communicated with us.